Good morning. Today is Monday, the 29th of September. My name is John Endres, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with a look at the current state of the GNU. We then review the latest consumer confidence numbers before turning to South African ports and their global standing. We summarize the latest global growth estimates from the OECD and then close with an AGOA update. But first, we look at the GNU, and news reports on the weekend suggest that President Ramaphosa is avoiding the leaders of other parties in the Government of National Unity. Their last meeting was 144 days ago, and attempts by other party leaders to arrange meetings have proved fruitless. John Steenhuisen, leader of the DA, the largest coalition partner of the ANC, has been unsuccessful at seeking a meeting with Mr. Ramaphosa to discuss a replacement for Andrew Whitfield, the deputy trade and industry minister who was dismissed by Mr. Ramaphosa in June. Corneille Mulder, leader of the Freedom Front Plus, has been seeking to brief Mr. Ramaphosa about his Washington meetings since July, but also without success. Gayton McKenzie, leader of the Patriotic Alliance, is threatening to leave the GNU and resign as sports minister on Tuesday if the ANC does not reappoint his party colleague, Kenny Kunene, to his mayoral committee role in Johannesburg. Mr. Kunene was found at the house of Katiso Molefe, who has been linked to the murder of a popular musician, when the police came to arrest Mr. Molefe in July. A legal probe has since cleared Mr. Kunene of any wrongdoing. The impression is that the rapidly weakening ANC is neglecting the GNU, a coalition constellation which the party did not wholly support. A possible outcome is that the 9 non-ANC parties will pursue greater cooperation among themselves without the ANC. This would signal a sidelining of the ANC despite its 40% vote share in the 2024 elections and its leading role in the government. Within cabinet, Mr. Mulder points out that ministers from different parties are operating independently and with minimal coordination, despite regular cabinet meetings. This is a scenario described as the Dunkirk flotilla in the CRA's 2025 scenario set. The implication is that government performance will become more uneven as coordination declines, offering high performers a chance to shine brightly compared to their duller cabinet colleagues. It points towards further ANC weakening, as well as a weaker position for Mr. Ramaphosa within the party he leads. These developments suggest that the GNU might not survive the 2026 local government election stress test intact. Next, we turn to consumer confidence, and South Africa's consumer confidence remains deeply negative and continues to deteriorate. The FNB BER Consumer Confidence Index fell from minus 10 points in the second quarter to minus 13 in the third quarter, well below its long-term average of around minus 1. The last time the measure was positive was in the second quarter of 2019. Earlier in the year, the reading plunged to minus 20 in the first quarter before recovering modestly. The deterioration in the third quarter was led by middle-income households, where confidence collapsed from minus 7 to minus 16, with weaker sentiment in both the economic outlook and household finances subcomponents. In global comparison, South Africa ranks among the most pessimistic major economies. According to Ipsos, SA sits 25th out of 30 countries surveyed for consumer confidence. In the broader data set presented by Trading Economics, SA's minus 13 reading is far lower than more optimistic peers. For instance, consumer confidence in developed markets often remains in positive territory, and among emerging markets, South Africa's sentiment is among the weakest. From a growth risk perspective, this weak confidence points to pronounced downside pressures on household consumption, which accounts for over 60% of GDP. The decline suggests consumption growth in the second half of the year may well fall below the 2.8% pace seen in the second quarter, and points to a risk that full-year consumption growth may underdeliver current forecasts. If consumer demand slumps, it will compound constraints on investment, job creation, and tax revenue growth increasing the probability that GDP growth in 2025 underperforms the 1% consensus estimate. We now turn to the ports, and South Africa's ports continue to occupy the bottom rungs of the Container Port Performance Index. The 2024 edition of that index ranked Durban dead last at a 403rd out of 403 total ports. Kucha was ranked just one spot higher at 402nd, Cape Town 400th, and Port Elizabeth 395th. Wait times and offloading were cited as the two major causes behind the port's continued underperformance. Despite still being ranked very low, Cape Town showed the strongest year-on-year improvement, gaining 237.9 index points. The acquisition of new equipment improved the port's performance through 2025 to date. Kucha improved by 160.4 index points, and that is the fourth strongest improvement overall. Should those improvements continue into 2026, they will reflect in the next edition of the index, which will use 2024-25 data. The CPPI writes, based on the latest data provided by Transnet, between mid-2024 and August 2025, vessel anchorage in SA ports went down by about 75%, gross crane moves per hour improved by 13%, and ship working moves went up by 25%. The CPPI draws attention to persistent challenges in the Southern African region, including limited automation and weak connections to inland commercial and industrial hubs. Ports in this region also faced higher than usual traffic volumes in 2024 because of the Red Sea crisis, with rerouted ships adding to workloads. If South Africa is to attain consistently higher growth rates, it must end the Transnet monopoly in policy as well as in practice. More than 80% of global trade by volume is moved via maritime transport, so improving performance in this area is critical for weathering future global trade upheaval as well as for taking advantage of opportunities. We now move on to the latest OECD numbers, and in its latest global growth forecast released last week, the OECD expects global growth to slow next year, down from an expected 3.2% in 2025 to 2.9% in 2026. It expects US growth to slow from 1.8% to 1.5% under the impact of higher import tariffs and elevated uncertainty, while the euro area is expected to slow from 1.2% to 1.0%. For South Africa, the OECD projects 1.1% growth this year in 2025, and that is a downward revision of its June projection by 0.2 percentage points, and for 2026, it expects a slight improvement to 1.3%, although that is also a downward revision by 0.1 points. Against this global backdrop, South Africa's weak trade infrastructure places it in a vulnerable position at a time of increased geopolitical volatility. The CPPI, that's the Ports Index, highlights the importance of efficient port operations for logistics costs and supply chains, based on which ports can act as resilient catalysts for development. Absent reliable, well-performing ports, South Africa's dreams of above 3% growth will remain elusive. National Treasury's projected total expenditure for the 2025-26 financial year is 2.58 trillion rand. Of that, 48% goes to wages and interest payments. Should global growth slow in 2026, especially in China, the US and Europe, key South African export markets, then the country's weak fiscal position will further depress government spending, infrastructure maintenance, and overall domestic growth. For our last story, we turn to the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, which offers sub-Saharan African countries duty-free access to the United States market for over 1,800 products and has done so since 2000. However, AGOA expires on the 30th of September this year. It ends amid a 30% reciprocal tariff on South African exports, imposed by US President Donald Trump in his April 2025 Liberation Day executive order. the reciprocal tariffs diminish AGOA's benefits without eliminating them entirely. And this is because reciprocal tariffs imposed by the US are applied in addition to the most favored nation tariffs that the US levies on imports from all World Trade Organization members. Under AGOA, eligible products exported to the US entered duty-free, overriding most favored nation tariffs. The reciprocal tariffs raised duties on those goods from 0% to 30%, but AGOA still shielded them from most favored nation charges. With AGOA's expiration, those products are now exposed to both the 30% tariff and most favored nation duties, sharply increasing costs for South African exporters to the US. South African exporters reliant on AGOA preferences face strained margins, potential restructuring, and further job losses. US buyers may shift to other countries as South Africa's tariff burden exceeds most countries' rates, which average 10 to 15% in the region. Pretoria's trade delegation in the United States must now secure a deal to ease market access. However, no bilateral deal can replicate AGOA's 25-year trade benefits free from Mr. Trump's reciprocal tariffs. Although Mr. Ramaphosa last week called for AGOA to be renewed at a meeting in New York, this call is unlikely to be heeded. South African exporters and American importers alike face a new trade reality in which competitiveness depends on rapid adaptation. That's it from us for this week. We hope you all have a good week ahead and look forward to speaking to you again next Monday morning.